Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But it is Friday at 3:30, which means Colin Wilson, Action Network. He is our gambling aficionado for college football. Colin, we just got a new app that allows us to legally sports bet in Oregon, but we can't bet college.
What are you betting? Are we betting on badminton? Are we betting on handball? What are we betting on?
They have both.
They literally have everything. You can bet on Korean women's volleyball. You can bet on Indian cricket. Basically anything other than college because, you know, they're not professionals.
Yeah.
You have to, do these people not understand the reason you're watching Troy and South Alabama on Wednesday night is not because you're fans of Troy and South Alabama. It's because of betting.
Bingo.
You'll appreciate this, Colin, that whenever I'm watching a game and one of my kids comes in, no one asks who I'm rooting for. No one asks like what's happening. They always ask the same thing. What's the spread? And it warms my heart that my kids come in and they know that I'm watching that game specifically for the fact that I got some juice on it.
Yeah, my great-grandmother, I'm dating this, but my great-grandmother once told me I can remember when alcohol was illegal back during Prohibition, and now my kids are going to be like, I can remember when gambling wasn't legal, It's hilarious.
Are you in Vegas? Like, where do you place most of your bets?
I have to place most of my bets legally. I place them through Vegas and New Jersey, but I have runners, so I don't actually live in Nevada or New Jersey, but usually when you get to this stage and you've been doing it for about 20 years, you know people in certain parts of the United States that act as runners is what we call them. And then, you know, we have to have a dinner every month or so when I fly into Nevada or fly into Jersey, and we make sure we settle up and everybody's good. And then, you know, of course, there's various websites where you can get that done too. But people don't, you know, some states don't like it when you happen to be, you know, out of state trying to make a bet, like Iowa. I've got family that lives in Iowa, and they've had the app for about 3 months, similar to Oregon. And so, you know, they're always asking, you know, what can I put in for a bet? What can I put in for a bet? And I said, well, first you're going to register me and get me an account.
Yes.
And you can start putting in money for me. So it's, you know, this state by state thing is interesting because, you know, I mean, you could live on the border of one state and have to drive, 5 miles across the border and place a bet and then come back to your house. So they should just legalize it, you know, nationwide. It's really ridiculous.
Well, that's me. I live in the state of Washington, and it's about 2.5 miles for me to cross the border. But I work in Portland. I cannot place a bet from my home that's less than 3 miles over the border.
Yeah, I visit you guys as part of the country all the time with my family because it's so beautiful. And if I would live in Washington, if I lived in what is the name of the city? Vancouver. If I lived in Vancouver, Washington, I would drive right across the bridge every day to place a bet and then go back to my couch.
That's what Souk does.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Well, we missed you last week. How did your Saturday go? Did you see that South Carolina Georgia game coming?
I did not see. That was the one I didn't see coming. I actually had a really good weekend. I went 13-5, and I had one of the most profitable weekends that I've had. But I didn't see that one coming at all. And I guess really the writing was on the wall because, you know, there's two teams. And I guess there's a lot of Oregon fans listening to this, so they need to listen to this. There are two teams that are offensively playing it way too conservative on first and second down, and it's allowing opponents to stay in games and give them trouble at the end. Those two teams are Oregon and Georgia. They're playing extremely conservative on first and second down, and I'll specifically pivot over to Oregon. You're not letting Justin Herbert, one of them, you're going to have, you know, the kid's going to be fantastic in the NFL. His talent is endless at the college level, and he doesn't take shots downfield, or he doesn't have dynamic play calling on first and second down, what we called standard downs, and they really don't let him throw it until third down. There was one game where Herbert was allowed to throw it deep past 20 yards on first down. His efficiency just skyrocketed. Since then, he's never really had the green light to kind of throw it downfield on first down. And I think the conservative play calling is what kept Cal close in the game, what made that Stanford game extremely close. And that's what kept South Carolina in the game. And soon enough, a pick six happens, game is tied, and you're in overtime. And you know, Georgia's missing a kick, and all of a sudden South Carolina has, you know, beat the game and had the upset of the weekend. But the same thing can happen to Oregon if they continue this conservative play calling on first and second down.
Well, where it is, I mean, like, I think the spread's 3, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's down to 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which side do you like then?
I'm on Washington this week. I actually power rate this game, Washington -1. And that would be, you know, and that's with home field advantage and everything. So you would say that Oregon on a neutral field should be favored by like 1 or 2 points. So to say that the point spread is 3, Oregon -3, then you would say that Oregon on a neutral field would be 6.5 or 7 against Washington. I just don't think there's that big of a gap between the two teams.
Interesting.
Do you like the under in that?
Should like the under, right? But the defense for Oregon has been fantastic. They've been one of the best in the nation. They proved that against Auburn. They were in the backfield all the entire time. They're one of the best in tackles for loss, passes defensed. And they're going to give, you know, Jacob Eason, you would think they would give him some problems. But if you look deeper into the numbers, we have this thing over at the Action Network called Havoc Allowed. So Havoc is where the defense causes fumbles, gets interceptions, has tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Havoc Allowed is where your offensive line doesn't allow tackles for loss, your quarterback doesn't have interceptions, and basically keeps a clean pocket. And Washington is actually top 20 in Havoc Allowed. They've actually done a very good job in the run blocking, and they haven't let anybody, any running back, get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I would definitely point to the under in this game.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app. Get live odds and expert analysis like Colin's for every game. Where's the value to you for Arizona State, Utah?
I think it's in Utah. I know it's a big number. It's 13.5, and I actually power rated a little bit lower. But the 3-3-5 defense that Herm Edwards runs, that's something that Utah has seen before. This defense that Utah has, I don't think the way to beat them is downfield passing, consistent downfield passing like Matt Fink of USC did. I'm not sure Jalen Daniels is going to be able to consistently do that. They have had some explosive passes this year, but I mean, they only have one or two options that they can throw it to, and really it's just been the Eno Benjamin show in the backfield. I think Utah, is going to come into this game and have a huge advantage. There could be some weather that could play a look into it. I actually like the over more than anything else because I think with Zach Moss back, Tyler Huntley at full strength, and I think, you know, Arizona State, they should be able to move the ball. I'm not sure they can get any points because the red zone efficiency for Utah defense has just been outstanding. I still think they're a contender in my pick to win the South. But, I mean, it's a large spread. The one thing that gets me about this game, why it's not a large investment on Utah, is that Herm Edwards has not been beaten by larger than a touchdown in Pac-12 play. That's a crazy stat.
Is Ohio State's laying, like, are they laying 4 touchdowns tonight playing Northwestern?
It's come down a little bit. I know that. I knew that Northwestern money was going to come in because it was, the number is a little outrageous. But, yeah, the number's come down to 27 now.
Value on Northwestern?
Yeah, there is value on Northwestern, but my podcast partner and I at the Action Network, we told everybody, don't think about taking – I mean, here's the thing. Ohio State has been maniacs in the first half. The first half total in this game is 27. Ohio State has scored at least 27 in the first half of all of their games. Now, if Northwestern wants to pitch in, I think there's going to be plenty of points in the first half. And if you look at Northwestern games, their best quarter of play has been the third quarter. If you take the 10 points out – the Michigan State scored on them in the third quarter, and you look at all their other games, they've only given up 7 points. They've been fantastic after Pat Fitzgerald gets his hands on them in the locker room, is able to make adjustments. And by that time, Ohio State in the third quarter may be thinking about Wisconsin. They may sit on the ball. I promise you, Ohio State will not run anything new. They will not put anything on tape tonight that's not already out there on film for Wisconsin to watch. So I think Ohio State kind of sits on the ball in the second half. I think Fitzgerald is going to put some adjustments in the before at halftime, and I think Northwestern's second half is actually the best play, and I'll be waiting for that.
Let me ask you, I know South Carolina pulled the big upset, and now they got a rebound, and I know they're at home, but they get #9 Florida. Is that 5.5? Is that an overreaction to South Carolina beating Georgia?
Maybe a little. I power rate the number 6.5, so maybe a point and a half has come down because of that. And but, I mean, the spot is for real. When you actually take a look at what Florida has been through, I mean, they beat Auburn. They go on the road. They played, I think, 89 snaps, which is about 15 more than Florida's average. they got fatigued. That's the reason they didn't cover that game. They were there touchdown for touchdown. Now, LSU finally covered the 13 because I think Florida ran out of gas there at the very end, especially the defense. So after you have an 89-snap game, now you're on the road again. So in your third straight SEC game, your second straight road game, South Carolina's quarterback is going to play, and their defense is legit. They are a legit SEC defense coached by Will Muschamp. So the number is real, and the money that's on South Carolina is real.
Colin Wilson, Action Network. When you say power rank, what is your method to get your personal spreads?
Yeah, so I actually learned there's a couple of odds makers that are in some of the Vegas casinos, and I've been friends with them for a while, and they taught me years ago how to make a power rating, and really how it starts in the off season is you base it upon returning production, how many players are coming back, relative to the conference. You look at regression to the mean, you look at turnovers from the prior season, just like 17 different variables to build that number preseason. Once you get into the season, it really comes down to having a clean box score. I mean, if you won the game by 3, but the other team gave you 5 turnovers and they outgained you by like 200 yards, then you didn't have a clean box score. You didn't really win the game. And for that reason, I would probably mark you down in power ratings. You look at other things, like you could lose by just 3 points, but you could, double the yards of the other team. You could even have half the plays and double the yards of the other team. And maybe you just had a fumble. I would actually probably upgrade you in power ratings. And using that system is the same way that Vegas does to make numbers, which is why I'm able to kind of pick off when I see a number that isn't correct. If a book happens to put something out there that is not in shape with what I have.
Well, what are your big plays for this week in college?
Yeah, we're definitely taking South Carolina. We've already mentioned that tonight. I know we're on Pitt here. That's about to fire off. Syracuse's offensive line is, Syracuse's offensive line is in deep trouble. They've had problems containing, keeping Tommy DeVito clean, and Pitt has been one of the best at containing explosive plays. You can ask Central Florida about that. As for tomorrow, looking down the list, like I said, I mentioned Washington. I like LSU's team total to go over. For some reason, LSU has now allowed over 30 points to Vanderbilt, Florida. Other teams have just been able to get a lot of points on the board against LSU, so I'm not really a big fan of taking 17 Mississippi State, but I do think LSU is going to continue to score points. So I like the LSU team total over. Other than that, Oklahoma State, -3.5. It's a great spot for them against a ranked Baylor team. There's just some serious mismatches there that the Pokes should be able to take advantage of at home.
And then one of our texters asked a good question. He said, hey, what if Colin can give us an extra NFL better too, because we always ask you about college, but we're all now legally betting on the NFL. We can't do anything right with your college picks, at least legally.
Yeah. And these numbers this week. So, I mean, this might not be the week that you guys want to ask that, because the things that I have money down on, people are just probably going to throw up in their mouth a little bit. I have money on the Redskins +10. I have money on the Cincinnati Bengals +4. There's just I could go deep into how I don't believe in the Niners just yet, and the ease of schedule that they've had, and how Washington is actually in the NFC East race. That's a crazy statement, but it's actually true. So, those are the two that I'm on. I like the Jets on Monday Night Football getting double digits against the Patriots. And keep your eyes on that Dallas Cowboys offensive line. It looks like everybody in that game is hurt, and there is some real money that just pushed it from -3 for Dallas down to -2.5. Wise guys are having their say with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that means that they're all betting Philly.
It looks like they're all betting Philly, but I mean, I believe in it too, because Dallas is just ravaged with injuries, especially in the trench.
Yeah. Do you watch the wise guys moves? Like, I'm sure you do. I mean, you got to pay attention to that, right?
I do. It doesn't mean that I agree with them. And you have to remember, a really good gambler, you can't take just one or two games and say, well, that guy's really smart. A really good gambler is anywhere between 54% to 57%. That's where you're really making your money. You're covering the juice and you're making money. If anybody ever tells you they make 60% to 65%, that's just not true. Or their sample size is just 100 games and they might have got lucky on 5 picks. Really, legitimately, if you guys download the Action app, that's what we have at the Action Network. You can make all your picks and all your own plays. And like, I've had 2,000 plays in there and I'm sitting around like 55.3%. Mm-hmm. So, it's the difference between a professional gambler and somebody that does it recreationally is getting that extra half point, betting earlier in the week, betting on Monday and Tuesday, studying the lines, having power ratings, getting to those numbers, because those half points make a difference. The juice paying minus 110 versus minus 120, in the long run, that's going to pay off.
Yep.
So there's little things that separate a professional from a recreational bettor.
I love it. Colin Wilson, every Friday, 3:30, Action Network. Thanks, Colin. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.